Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, in the previous session, we have been discussing the collection of the Quran narratives as ascribed to Ali رضي الله عنه, and we have been discussing these as the way they are found in Shiite sources. We have already discussed the way they have been found in the Sunni sources, and we have also analyzed those. But today, we will analyze the Shiite sources, the way they describe the collection of the Quran narratives. In my previous episode, I have already read out those 16 narratives before you. And today, inshallah, we'll see how they stand to the test of criticism vis-a-vis the text, the matan. And in the next session, inshallah, we'll see their change of narration. Now, before we begin this analysis, it is interesting to note that Al-Majlisi, in his Mirat al-Uqul fi Sharh Akhbari Ali Rasul, which is, of course, Sharh of Surah al-Kafi of Khulaini, he has actually summarized the views of classical Shiite authorities on the content and collection of the Quran. And we shall see that there are two groups in these regard. And one of the groups says that the Quran that we have today is exactly the one which was revealed to the Prophet. And another group says that there is over and above this Quran, which is not found in the Mus'haf or the codices of today, and which is over and above that, and which is found separately, and it does not exist in these current Qurans or the current most of that we have. So let me read out what Majlisi has written in this regard, because he has very efficiently summarized both these two groups of people or categories of people. And obviously, these two categories of people have derived their opinion from the narratives which I have read out in my previous episode. So the text is found in the volume 3 of Mirat al-Uqul, and Al-Majlisi says, وَاخْتَلَفَ أَصْحَابُنَا فِي ذَلِكَ فَزَهَبَ صَدُّوكُ ابْن بَابَوَيْ وَجَمَاعَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ لَمْ يَتَغَيِّرْ عَمَّا أُنزِلَ وَلَمْ يَنْقُصْ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ وَزَهَبَ الْكُلَيْنِ وَالشَّيْخَ الْمُفِيدُ قَدَّسَ اللَّهُ رُوحَهُمَا وَجَمَاعَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ جَمِيعَ الْقُرْآنِ عِنْدَ الْأَئِمَّةِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَمَا فِي الْمَصَاحِفِ بَعْضُهُ وَجَمَعَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ كَمَا أُنْزِلَ بَعْدَ الرَّسُولِ وَأَخْرَجَ إِلَى الصَّحَابَةِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فَلَمْ يَقْبَلُوا مِنْهُ وَهُمْ قَصَدُوا لِجَمْعِهِ فِي زَمَنِ عُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ كَمَا سَيَأْتِي تَفْصِيلُهُ فِي كِتَابِ الْقُرْآنِ قَالَ شَيْخُنَا السَّدِيدُ الْمُفِيدُ رَوَّحَ اللَّهُ رُوحَهُ فِي جَوَابِ الْمَسَائِلِ السَّرْوِيَّةِ الَّذِي بَيْنَ الضَّفَّتَيْنِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ جميعه كلام الله وتنزيله وليس في شيء من كلام البشر وهو جمهور المنزل والباقي مما أنزله الله تعالى قرآنا عند المستحفظ للشريعة المستورد للأحكام لم يدع منه شيء وإن كان الذي جمع بين الضفتين الآن لم يجعله في جملة ما جمع الأسباب دعت إلى ذلك منها قصوره عن معرفة بعضه ومنها ما شك فيه ومنها ما عمد بنفيه ومنها ما تعمد إخراجه عنه وقد جمع أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام القرآن المنزل من أوله إلى آخره وألفه بحسب ما وجب من تأليفه فقدم المكي إلى المدني والمنسوخ إلى الناسخ ووضع كل شيء منه في موضعه فلذلك قال جعفر بن محمد صادق عليه السلام أما والله لو قرئ القرآن كما أنزل لألفيتمونا فيه مسمين كما سمي من كان قبلنا وساق الكلام إلى أن قال غير أن الخبر قد صح عن أئمتنا عليه السلام أنه أمروا بقراءة ما بين الضفتين وأن لا نعتداه إلى زيادة فيه ولا نقصان منه حتى يقوم القائم عليه السلام فيقره الناس القرآن على ما أنزل الله وجمعه أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام وإنما نهونا عن قراءة ما وردت به الأخبار من أحرف تزيد على الثابت في المصحف لأنها لم تأتي إلى التواتر وإنما جاءت بها الأحاد والواحد قد يغلط فيما ينقله ولأنه متى قرأ الإنسان بما يخالف ما بين الضفتين غرر بنفسه من أهل الخلاف وأغرى به الجبارين وعرض نفسه للهلاك فمنعون عليهم السلام عن قراءة القرآن بخلاف ما ثبت بين الضفتين لما ذكرناه. The translation of this passage is that in this matter there is a difference of opinion between our authorities. As-Saduq ibn Babawayh and a group of scholars are of the opinion that the Quran revealed to the Prophet has not been changed and nothing has been taken away from it. So this is one category. Al-Kulayni and Shaykh al-Mufid and another group of scholars are of the opinion that the whole of the Quran lies with the Imams and the Masahif only contain a part of it. after the Prophet Ali رضي الله عنه collected it in the way it was revealed and took it to the companions who were hypocrites. But they did not accept it. They resolved to collect the Quran in the time of Umar and Uthman, the details of which are forthcoming in the chapter Kitab al-Quran. Our bona fide Sheikh al-Mufid has said in Jawab Masail al-Sarawiyya that all of what we have in the Quran is from God. All of it is his discourse and revealed by him, and it does not contain anything from human beings. It contains most of what was revealed by him, and what remains of what was revealed by him lies with the person who has been entrusted with the Sharia and who is the repository of injunctions. Nothing has been lost from it, and he who had collected the current Quran did not place the remaining revelations within what he had collected. There are various reasons for this. Among them is his unawareness of some of it. Another reason for it is his doubts about part of it, and still another reason is his leaving out parts which he thought were not the Quran. And yet another reason is that he deliberately left out a part of it. And Amirul Mu'mineen Ali collected the whole of the Quran, whole of the revealed Quran from the beginning to its end, and arranged it in the way it should have been arranged. He placed the Meccan verses before the Medinan ones and the abrogated verses before the abrogated ones, and put each of its parts at the right place. For this reason, Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq has said, "By God, if the Quran was read in the way it was revealed, you would have found our names written in it the way the names of those prior to us are written in it." And after mentioning other details, he said, "Except that the report from our authorities is correct, that they commanded us to read what was between the two covers, and that we should not commit any excess in it by neither adding anything to it or taking anything away from it until the Al-Qaim appears. He will then teach the people the Quran in the way it was revealed and collected thereof by Ali. And indeed, we have been prohibited to read it on readings which are reported in narratives which exceed the ones found in the Mus'haf, because they are not reported through tawatur. They are reported through single or few reporters, and a single reporter or a few reporters can err in what they narrate. And because when a person would read something which is not in the existing Quran, he would give the wrong impression to others that he is among their enemies. And he would incite cruel people against himself and present himself to destruction. So our authorities have forbidden us to read the Quran on a reading which is not found in our Quran for reasons we have stated." So here, as you can see, it's a beautiful summary of the total corpus of our classical Shia scholars, the way they view the current Quran. And you can see clearly that there are two distinct categories, and the first of these categories is that they believe that the Quran we have today is exactly the same as it was revealed. But the other category is the one who says that, and we find that Sheikh al-Mufid and al-Kulaini being the reminders, the exponents of that category, which say that the Quran that we have today is only part of what it was revealed, and the whole of the Quran lies with the Imams. And we have also seen some of the reasons why which have been stated by al-Majlisi vis-a-vis that why the Quran that we have today is only part of what was actually revealed. Now, let us also see how Imam al-Khuwi in his al-Bayan has viewed this whole matter. Now, he says that his own view on the Mus'haf of Ali is that it did not contain anything over and above the Quran we have today, except that its surahs were arranged in a different sequence. Whatever additions it had were not part of it. These additions were of explanatory and elucidatory nature. So Imam Khuwi's take, as I said, since he's also a very representative authority and a person of yesteryears who commanded great respect among the Shiites, he says that the Quran that is present today does not contain anything over and above the actual Quran. The only thing is that Ali's Quran was arranged in a different sequence. It had a different order. He does not specify which order, but he says its order was different. The only thing is that the order was different. As far as the contents are concerned, Ali's Quran was exactly the same. Ali Qurani al-Amili, in his Tadween al-Quran, he says that it is evident from all narratives that Ali r.a. anhu actually had two Qurans. So he has come up with a more unique picture in this regard. He says, one which he had collected in the time of the prophet, and it was in the chronological sequence, in the revelatory sequence. The other one was collected after the demise of the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and was in the same order as the Quran we have today. He further comments that it seems that narrators have mixed up these two. So Ali Qurani al-Amili, also a very prominent Shiite authority, says that basically Ali had two Qurans. He had collected two Qurans. One of them was compiled in the chronological sequence, and that was the one which was compiled in the times of the Prophet. And later on, he compiled it in its current sequence. And so therefore, he thinks that this is the actual scenario and situation. But narrators, while recording this fact, have mixed up these two and have either come up with the fact that in the time of the Prophet it was in the current sequence, or have come up with the fact that later on it was in the chronological sequence. So he does not comment beyond this. Now, viewers, in my own personal opinion, if we discuss all these narratives and we also view them in a very careful way, we can clearly see that there are a number of narratives which very, very explicitly say that the Quran we have today is incomplete. In particular, the narratives from Sulaym ibn Qais, recorded in his Kitab, Sulaym, in his own book, and in Tabrisi's al-Ihtijaj, and some of the other narratives are very explicit, as I shall point out later on. But let us view the criticism which arises on all these narratives, including the one that they clearly mention that the Quran, which we have today, is incomplete, and it is actually a part of the one which was actually revealed. Now, firstly, as I said, the most important thing in this regard is that in the time of the narratives themselves say that this, especially I'm referring to the narrative of Sulaym ibn Qais, which was recorded in number two in our line of presentation. Now, it says that events that ensued in the time of Umar and Usman clearly say that the Quran, which the Muslim community has, was incomplete. Now, this is what the narrative says. And then we have examples also. Talha, in his conversation with Ali, while referring to the incompleteness, has quoted some examples, and Ali has tacitly acknowledged them. So you would remember that there was this conversation which went on between Talha and Ali, and Talha had pointed out to certain things which evidenced the fact that the Quran was incomplete, and Ali was actually tacitly acknowledging the fact that he was right in his surmise and in his approach. Thus, we say that Umar had remarked that with the death of some people in the Battle of Yamama, parts of the Quran had been lost because none other knew the parts they had been memorized. And I can quote the exact words: "Innahu qad qutila yawm al-yamama rijalun kanu yaqra'una Qur'anan la yaqra'u ghayruhum fazahab," which means that people who had the Quran with them, memorized them, many parts of that Quran were actually not recorded. So this is the first thing which is referred in that narrative. Then we have also, in the same narrative, an allusion to the fact that a goat had eaten a sheet on which parts of the Quran were written. And the words of وَقَدْ جَاءَتْ شَاتٌ إِلَىٰ صَحِيفَ وَكُتَّابُ أُمَرْ يَكْتُبُونَ فَأَكَلَتْهَا وَزَهَبَ مَا فِيهَا, which means when the Sahaba were collecting the Quran in the times of the Caliph Umar, a goat had eaten part of the part of the chunk in which the Quran was written, and whatever was written in that part just vanished, and this just was wasted away. Next, we also have that Umar remarked that some of the collected surahs were not of the same length they originally were. So when they were collecting the Quran in the times of Umar, he said that some of the surahs are not even of the same length. Thus, for example, he said that إِنَّ الْأَحْزَابَ كَانَتْ تَعْدِلُ سُورَةَ الْبَقَرَةَ, that originally Surah Ahzab had the same number of verses as Surah Baqarah. It no longer has those number of verses. He also said that An-Nur Sittuna wa Mi'a Aya, that Surah An-Nur had 160 verses, but unfortunately, what we have today is only a part of it. And he also said that Al-Hujurat, Surah Hujurat, had Tis'una Aya, it had 90 verses. But we obviously know that the current Surah Hujurat is a very short version. It does not have so many verses. Now, this is what that second narrative of Sulaym ibn Qais we studied has clearly said. Now, there are some other examples of this incompleteness as well, which can be seen in other narratives. Thus, for example, in Tabrisi's al-Ihtijaj, we see that the Quran compiled by Ali mentioned the misdeeds and condemnation of the Muhajirun and the Ansar. And the words are, وَفِيهِ فَضَاحُ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. So it says that the Quran, which was compiled by Ali, actually had the misdeeds of the Muhajirun and the Ansar. So in the previous part, I had described how in the times of Umar رضي الله عنه, when the Sahaba had been had went upon collecting the Quran, Umar had remarked how it was incomplete. And now we come to the actual fact that when Ali رضي الله عنه, in his own time, in his initial period, when he had collected the Quran right after the Prophet's demise, he had come up with the codex in which there were Fazaihul Muhajirin wal Ansar, misdeeds of the Ansar. But obviously, we don't have them today, so they were had been deleted, or they lied with him. They just found their place with Ali, and he later on transferred it, as we shall come to see, to his own dynasty. Now, another narrative, which is also quoted at number 4, says that whilst a large part of the Quran compiled by Umar had been lost, the Quran which was found in his which is found with his worthy recipients was complete and secure from these losses. And the words are, this is again in Tabrasi's al-Ihtijaj, the words are, قَدْ زَعَ مِنْهُ قُرْآنٌ كَثِيرٌ. A lot of the Quran had been lost. And then the words which actually form an emendation on it, I say that, بَلْ كَزَبُوا وَاللَّهِ بَلْ هُوَ مَجْمُوعٌ مَحْفُوظٌ إِنْ دَأَحْلِهِ. Although with the Quran which with the Sahaba is not complete, but it is complete with people who are its worthy recipients. Now, another narrative which is quoted at number 12, and it is found in Al-Nu'mani's Al-Ghayba, shows that 70 names of the Quraysh and their forefathers had been deleted from the Quran, found with the Muhajirun and the Ansar. And we see the words, Muhya minhu sab'una min Quraysh bi asma'ihim. So 70 names have been deleted. So all this data clearly shows that the Quran was incomplete. The Quran, which had been compiled by the companions, obviously we have the remarks of Umar Rizala Anhu regarding its completeness. And we also know that the original Quran, which Ali Rizala Anhu, as is ascribed by Shia sources to him, had a Quran which had more things. For example, it had the names of the, it had the details of the misdeeds of the Sahaba. And it also had 70 names, which we no longer find in the current Quran. So this makes a complete picture that the Quran that we have today is not the one which was revealed, and it is only part of it. Now, it is the most important question which arises on this is that it is hard to believe that a companion of the stature of Ali Rizatala Anhu would have contented himself with this lesser version or the incomplete version of the Quran. The significance of the book for the Muslim community and the responsibility the companions had in disseminating it demanded that he should have gone to the leaders of Muslims in their capacities and asked him that they should implement the complete Quran. Now, understandably, we know that there are some narratives that say that he had gone over to the companions and had told them, the leaders among the companions, that he has the complete Quran and they should implement it. And we see that the companions had in fact rejected his Quran. But again, my personal opinion on this is that he should have realized the gravity of this matter. And if the companions, the leaders of the companions, Abu Bakr, Umar رضي الله عنه, and the rest of the foremost companions had declined to accept the Quran of Ali, he should have gone to the Muslim community and told them that the caliphs or the people in charge, they are not accepting the complete Quran and they are only accepting part of it. So the gravity of the situation, the fact that the Quran was something which needed to be given to the Ummah in its totality, and Ali رضي الله عنه knew this, he should have gone to the general masses and should have asked him that this is what he had done and no one had listened to him. He should have shown persistence in this matter. So therefore, it is very important that we realize that this he never did. And when he said this, he never did, obviously this means that this is something which he could never have done if this whole incident had taken place the way it has been recorded. So the thing is that why did Ali did not implement the complete Quran when he himself came to power? So it is for some reason, if we can say that when he had gone to the companions and they had rejected his Quran, why is it that he, in his own times, when he had become the caliph, when he had become the in charge of the Muslims, he had the Quran with him, the complete Quran with him. It was the best moment to have that Quran implemented. And if someone argues that if, had he implemented the Quran, there would have been great strife and disorder and unrest Had he done so, then a case again can be made, because we find a number of narratives that say that in the last period, when the Al-Qaim arrives, he shall implement the Quran. And he and if the issue of strife was there in the case of Ali, it could have easily would have arisen in the time of the Al-Qaim as well. If Ali did not implement the Quran in his own times, thinking that strife would arise, then why is it that the Al-Qaim, when he would come in his time, he would implement the Quran? Because the strife issue would again arise. So all these questions, viewers, cast doubt on the fact that if the Quran was incomplete, then Ali should have, radiallahu anhu, should have gone to the companions, to the general masses, and should have sounded them with great vigor that people, look here, we have the incomplete Quran. And obviously this was not the case. And the point I'm trying to make is, since this is not the case, Ali, the most cogent and the most common sense attitude which Ali should have adopted would have been this. But since it reports this contrary scenario, I think that it has been wrongly ascribed to Ali radiallahu anhu. And in fact, the narratives which say that the Quran was incomplete, they are very, very, they stand a lot of slippery ground, because had this been the case, Ali radiallahu anhu would never have withheld the actual Quran from the Muslim community. So this is the first critique that I have in my mind. Now, the second critique which arises in my mind is that the many of the narratives, like, for example, the second and the fourth narrative, now they clearly say that the every verse of the Quran and its interpretation were already written by Ali through dictation by the Prophet. So this is something which Ali radiallahu anhu, in the lifetime of the Prophet, had already taken dictation of each and every verse, even their explanation, even the explanation of every verse. So the question arises that if Ali radiallahu anhu already had the whole of the Quran written with him, why is it that the Prophet is expressing his apprehension in one of the narratives in which he says that Ali, the Quran is behind my bed, the words are khalfa firashi, get hold of it, and lest it might get lost the way the Jews had lost the Torah. This is something which is very strange, because the Prophet should have rest assured, as these narratives say, that the Quran had already been with Ali, and all he needed was perhaps to rearrange it or to give it its final format. Why is it that the Prophet is expressing his apprehension? And this apprehension is actually expressed, as I said, in Ali Ibrahim al-Kummi's tafsir, in which the words are al-Quran khalfa firashi. And this actually something which casts doubt on the fact that the Prophet would have said these words, because if Ali already had the Quran, why did the Prophet think that it would get wasted or lost the way the Jews had lost the Torah? So this is the second point of criticism. Now, thirdly, the first narrative speaks of the insincerity and treachery of the companions. The words are فَلَمَّا رَا عَلِي غَدْرَهُمْ وَكِلَّةَ وَفَائِهِمْ, which means when Ali saw that the betrayal and the insincerity of the companions, which obviously is something which is very prominent in many Shiite works, in which the treachery and disparaging, disparage the companions. The third narrative says that the companions had altered the Quran in the version collected by them by deleting the misdeeds of the Muhajirun and the Ansars, which were written in the Quran collected by Ali. We have seen that in the third narrative, Tabrasi has said that the Quran which Ali had contained the misdeeds, so therefore they had deleted these misdeeds. We even see that the Sahaba have been called hypocrites, not by someone else, but of the stature of person in which in Al-Majlisi's Mirat al-Ukul, in which he has called or recorded that the Sahaba were hypocrites because they did not accept what Ali had brought to them. Now, we also have that Ali is reported to have said that the companions had forsaken and disregarded the Book of God. This is recorded in the 13th narrative, in which says that you have thrown away, nabastu muhu, you have thrown away the Book of God, and you have alihatkum ad-dunya, your worldly desires have taken over you. These are the words which are recorded. So these aspects of the narratives clearly show the malicious intent towards the companions, which is typical of many of the Shiite works which had developed later on, in which the Shiite and the Sunni strife had become very evident. So as Shawli has pointed out, these narratives have this tone in which the Sahaba are disparaged. Fourthly, as is the case with Shiite works, some of the narratives speak of the superiority of Ali over others. So this is the fourth critique. Again, this is a manifestation of the same point that we've just spoken of, that the superiority of Ali over the rest of the companions is explicitly and is highlighted in a very prominent manner. For example, we say that Ali had the Quran collected with him in his lifetime, in the lifetime of the Prophet. It was with no other Sahabi but with Ali that it had there, that it lied. And it also says that everything which will happen till the day of judgment is also written with him. And we also have the fifth narrative, which says that the Prophet handed over the Quran on various fragments to Ali. Again, this is the one which is recorded by Ali Ibrahim al-Kummi in his Tafsir al-Kummi, in which he is actually handing over the Quran to Ali. So the question obviously does arise again, that we find this superiority and the dominance of Ali being displayed, because it is only he who has the whole of the Quran written with him in the life of the Prophet, and it is only he to whom the Prophet is seen handing over the Quran. Again, the question is, what about the rest of the companions? This again is something, this Shiite overtone is clearly evident in these narratives. Fifthly, viewers, we see that if all the narratives are analyzed regarding the chronological nature of the collection, we can come up with a different explanation in this regard. You can see that most of the scholars have interpreted that these narratives mean that Ali had actually collected the Quran in its chronological sequence. Now, I think that this is something which is a misinterpretation. And the reason that I'm saying is that, firstly, there is nothing mentioned from Ali رضي الله عنه himself that he had collected the Quran in its chronological sequence. It is only the comments of some later people which ascribe a revelatory sequence of collection to Ali رضي الله عنه. Secondly, let me also point out that there is a certain expression in some of the narratives which has led most of our scholars to believe that Ali had compiled the Quran in its chronological sequence. And the words which are actually found are kama anzalahu Allah, which have led people to believe. Kama anzalahu Allah means the way it was revealed by the Almighty, which obviously means which is taken to mean that it was revealed in its chronological sequence. It may be noted that the words, as I said, فَأَلَّفَهُ كَمَا أَنزَلَهُ اللَّهُ can also be translated in a different way. So there is one way in which we can translate is that the way it was revealed, or the sequence in which it was revealed, which is the general interpretation. And I personally think that this is a wrong interpretation, because كَمَا أَنزَلَهُ اللَّهُ can also mean a different thing. It would mean that it was written by him. The words are فَأَلَّفَهُ كَمَا أَنزَلَهُ اللَّهُ would mean that it was written by Ali in exactly the same way it was revealed, meaning that there were no additions or deletions in it. So فَأَنزَلَهُ اللَّهُ does not mean the way in the sequence it was revealed, but it means in the exact way in which it was revealed, nothing was added to it and nothing was taken away from it. And this is something which I personally believe, because كَمَا أَنزَلَهُ اللَّهُ is something which can be interpreted in this sense as well, especially if I narrate some of the material before you once again, which would clearly point out that كَمَا أَنزَلَهُ اللَّهُ does not mean the revelatory sequence. It actually means the exact content of the Quran, the way it was revealed. And it says that did not happen. The exact Quran, the way it was revealed, it was not compiled in that way, because had it been compiled in that way, we would have found a different Quran. So thus, for example, it is reported that Haza Kitabu Allah Azza wa Jalla kama anzalahu Allahu ala Muhammad wa qad jama'atuhu min al-lawhain. This is what Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه has said, and this is found in Al-Kafi and of Al-Kulaini. But viewers, something which is absolutely clear in this is that, for example, we have this narrative again from Al-Kulaini, and this is something from Imam Abu Ja'far Muhammad al-Baqir. The words are يَقُولْ مَدْعَ أَحَدٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَنَّهُ جَمَعَ الْقُرْآنَ كُلُّهُ جَمَعَ الْقُرْآنَ كُلَّهُ كَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَّا كَذَّاب وَمَا جَمَعَهُ وَحَفِظَهُ كَمَا نَزَّلَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَّا عَلِيَّ بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبَ وَالْأَئِمَّ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Again, this clearly says that, as I said, the words are that only the words of Imam Abu Ja'far Muhammad al-Baqir are, only a liar can say that he has collected the whole of the Quran the way it was revealed. No one collected or memorized it in the way it was revealed except Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Imams after him, which again clearly says that the complete Quran was with them, and it was only the part of the Quran which lied with the rest of the Sahaba. Now, the following narrative actually is something which is sort of a final word in this regard. In this regard, it is recorded by a Nomani in his Al-Ghaiba, in which he says, in which the words are that Ali says, I envision the Ajam with their tents in the mosque of Kufa, teaching people in the Quran in the way it was revealed. I asked, O Commander of the Faithful, is it not in the form it was revealed? Now, listen carefully what Ali رضي الله عنه replied. He says, no. The names of 70 people of the Quraysh and their forefathers have been deleted from it, and only the name of Abu Lahab remains. So this clearly shows that what these narratives are implying is that kama anzalahu Allah fa'allafahu kama anzalahu Allah, which means that Ali رضي الله عنه, had it been compiled such that nothing had been left out from it, then therefore this would have been the actual story. So these words, especially of Al-Normani and Al-Ghaiba, says that had the Quran been compiled in the way it was revealed, they would have found the people, they have found 70 names written in it of these companions, which clearly say that actually deletions were being made, had been made from this collected Quran. In other words, viewers, the point I'm trying to make is that the words kama anzalahu Allah does not mean the way the Quran has been revealed, the chronological sequence of the Quran, but it actually refers to the fact that had nothing been deleted or subtracted from it, which clearly shows that the Quran, that what the narratives are speaking, they are not speaking of any chronological sequence. They are only saying that had the complete Quran been with them, then such and such a thing would have not have happened, or they have the complete Quran. So kama, the words fa'allafahu kama anzalahu Allah only mean had Ali compiled the Quran exactly in the way it was revealed, leaving out nothing from it. So this is what I think, and I think that the whole issue of the chronological sequence is something which cannot be concluded from this. And this fact is also corroborated by Imam Jafar al-Sadiq's words recorded by Majlisin is Mirat al-Lukul and referred to earlier, where Imam Jafar says, by God, if the Quran was read in the way it was revealed, you would have found our names written in it the way the names of those prior to us were written in it. So this is what Imam Jafar Sadiq has said, that had the Quran been written the way it was revealed, again implying the fact that had the whole Quran been found with us, we would have found that there were more to it. We would have found our names written in it in this. So therefore, we see that this narrative, if it is interpreted, if they are interpreted in the light of some of the other narratives, it clearly sees that there is no issue of any chronological sequence. All that these narratives actually say is that the Quran is not complete, and had it been complete, people would have found more data in it. And viewers, finally, the sixth point of critique, which I am now going to make before you, is that there are some discrepancies and contradictions as well in these narratives. Now, according to the first narrative, when Ali came up with this Quran right after the death of the Prophet, Umar replied that the Muhajirun already had the Quran with him, and they did not need the Quran by him. They did not need the Quran which has been collected by him. In this regard, the sixth narrative says that a section of the Muhajirun had remarked that the Quran was with them in the form of a Mus'haf. So this is something very different. He says that they have with them in the form of Mus'haf. However, the second and fourth narrative say that it was only in the caliphate of Umar and Ali. It was only in the caliphate of Umar, when Ali had refused to hand over the Quran to Umar, that the latter had embarked upon collecting the Quran with the help of two witnesses. So the previous two narratives say that Umar radiallahu anhu and the Muhajirun had said that they have the Quran. However, the next narrative which I have decided say that it was only in the times of Umar, when Ali had refused to hand over the Quran, that did the Khulafa actually embarked upon collecting the Quran, which is a stark contradiction. Now, besides this mutual contradiction, of course, these narratives also contradict the standard Sunni narrative found in Sunni books, which say that the Quran was compiled in a book form by Abu Bakr. So, all in all, this is the first contradiction. Now, as far as the second contradiction is concerned, in the second narrative, Ali says that no one will be able to see his collected Quran until the last of his descendants meets the Prophet on the Day of Judgment at the Fountain of Qasr. Now, please do note that the third, sixth, and twelfth narratives, however, say that the Quran collected by Ali would be revealed by the Al-Qaim when he comes to this world. So one set of narratives says that it shall not be revealed to any person, and it will only be revealed in the hereafter. But another set of narratives says that when the Al-Qaim comes, he will reveal the actual Quran. And viewers, finally, the third contradiction in this regard is that the ninth narrative says that it took Ali 6 months to compile the Quran, while the narrative recorded by Ibn Nadim says that it was done in 3 days. And the 16th narrative says that it took him 7 days. So again, this is a contradiction. One of them says it took 6 months, another says it took him 3 days, and still another says it took him 7 days. So this is another contradiction in these narratives. So these are some of the contradictions which I have pointed out. So all in all, these are 6 points of critique which I have presented before you. So viewers, we can see that in the presence of these questions and these points of critique, it is extremely difficult to accept these narratives the way they have been recorded in our Shiite books. Inshallah, in the next episode, we shall analyze the chains of narration also of these 16 narratives, and then we shall draw an overall conclusion regarding the collection of the Quran, both in Sunni and in Shiite sources. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.